Blog Talk Radio.
Listen to Big Brother House Guests, Survivor Castaways, and the Amazing Racer Racers. That's right, here at the Rad Reality Show Network, and we have so many other guests. Well, welcome to the show tonight, our Thursday night Survivor show.
If you guys have a question on Survivor, you guys can call in 347-237-5506. Let's have a great show, guys.
Jerry? Hello? Are you muted? Jerry? Well, I'm going to say welcome everyone to all you Survivor fans. I hope you can hear me. I don't know if it's me or Jerry. Okay, welcome everyone to the Rad Reality Show Network's Survivor Show, Mike on the Mic with Big Mike Albright. I do know that we do have a lot of inclement weather and thunderstorms going around in parts of the country, and hopefully you're not one of those that is being affected by it. I really have no feedback as to whether anybody's hearing me talking right now. I do have a couple of fans already on the switchboard. I'm going to bring up Tony, and have him on the air with us off the bat for a little bit until we can. Okay. Sherry, are you there?
I think I'm here.
I hear you now.
I don't know what happened to my phone.
Okay. Take two. What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to thank everyone for joining us here at the Rad Reality Show Network to join us and outwit, outlast, and outplay with us tonight. We're about to start the Mike and the Mic show with Big Mike Albright, and he's got a great guest lined up tonight, the wonderful and beautiful Lori Doherty, the wife of Chris Doherty, who won Survivor Vanuatu, is going to be joining us. And she is a Survivor super fan herself, so you just might be surprised about how much she knows about the game of Survivor. And with all the fans that Big Mike has and friends that he knows on Survivor, he's met 411 Survivor alumni. We never know who just might call into the show, so we're always on the ready for surprises on this show. We encourage people to call in and join us, talk to Big Mike and Lori, ask any questions that you may have, or just call in and share your opinions about something that happened on the episode yesterday. So we love hearing from you. Don't be shy. Call in and talk to us. The number is 1-347-237-5506. And once you call in, please remember to press the number 1 key. That lets us know that you want to join us on air. Myself and Paul from Minnesota will be your co-host tonight, and we're going to say a quick hi to Paul and find out what's going on up in his neck of the woods up in Minnesota before we start the show and get Big Mike up here with us. So what's going on up there in Minnesota way?
Well, I'm so glad you're back. That was kind of, I felt so uncomfortable, and I didn't know if anybody could hear me or anything like that, but welcome back. And I did tell people before you came back that there are, you know, there's a lot of inclement weather out there and thunderstorms and that kind of thing. So I didn't know if that may have been the reason we lost you initially, but we have, we're on the other side of that, that frontal boundary, Cherry. And I went, I talked to you early on the phone and went out, ran to the store and saw that we were getting some snowflakes falling here. So how about that for a...
No way.
I'm not kidding you. We have snow. It's only like 35 degrees here right now, but we are going to be warming up in a few days, so I don't get that upset about it, especially I'm not upset we don't have some of the severe weather that people have been experiencing. Other than that, I'm just really happy, as we sometimes do talk about hockey here. I'm just really happy that a Minnesota Wild finally clinched a playoff position. We're also playing right now and trying to do the St. Louis Blues a favor by beating Nashville. We went down early 2-0, but we've tied it up into the third period. It's 2-2, so we'll keep trying for you, Cherry.
Well, beat those Nashville Preds. I tell you, it's a close season this season, and it's going to be interesting to see who plays who at the the outcome of the playoffs. So it's close. It's very close. So anyway, we've got a wonderful show lined up for everyone tonight. I want to play his intro and get our host up here with us and get this Survivor Party started. Here we go, folks.
They have volunteered to be marooned for 39 days. This is their story. This is Survivor.
Superfan, Big Mike. Big Mike, you're up.
Hey, Big Mike.
Episode 8 of season 30.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Oh, good.
Are you
good
with thunderstorms?
We had a rain and thunderstorms past 2 days. The weather's crazy, and for the past week, I've been under the weather, and it's just crazy. But today it was 70 degrees at one point. Then when I left, it was a pouring rainstorm, and my umbrella was in my car, my Survivor Thailand umbrella. So I had to walk through the rain to get to my car.
Wow. We've had some huge, unseasonably strong thunderstorms for this early in the season. Last night, we had some incredible, I mean, just wicked, wicked storms. And I'm kind of wondering right now if it didn't mess up my phone system, because at the start of the show, I started talking and I didn't have any sound. And I actually tried two. I had two of my, you know, I have like a phone system that has five phones. And I had two of them sitting here. I always keep one here just in case the battery runs down or something. And I tried two of them, and there was no sound out of either one of them. And I'm wondering if it didn't mess up my phone system.
Sherry, maybe you caught the big mic phone disease, huh?
I suppose it'd been hanging out in after hours. Who knows?
But they said, check this out, Big Mike, something I've never heard of in my entire life, not just south of me, not here in my town, but just south of me, they had grapefruit-sized hail. Have you ever heard
of
that?
As a little kid, I used to read the Guinness Book of World Records, and I've heard of even bigger, but grapefruit's no joke. That's some pretty intense hail.
That would kill somebody if it hit you.
That would. I would definitely rip you up, and we're in tornado season in your area, my area, and possibly up into Minnesota, too. So,
absolutely
powerful.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Do you happen to have handy the Doherty's area code?
Let me check.
Okay. I was just going to say, while you're checking, I think one thing we could quickly talk about before we get into current Survivor is Cherry brought this up, and I wasn't aware of it, but in our last show, she said that fans are going to be voting for Season 32 returnees, which I thought was an interesting twist.
I saw that posting, and it's interesting, and there's 614, by the way. But the how stacked they were on the more recent seasons. It's, you know, there's been 30 seasons, but it seemed like most of the people on the list I saw were from like season 25 on. So I mean I appreciate, you know, anyone that's played, and we want to get as many, you know, people back to play, but there's a lot of untapped talent that if it's they've played once, it's the only criteria. There's a lot of new people that were kind of like, really? Versus, you know, some of these older players that never got a second chance.
Right. They said that it goes all the way back to season one to you know, Cindy Wigglesworth and
Greg's on there from season one, and various people from different seasons. I just wish it would have been, if there's 30-some people, do like two a season, not like there's five people from this current season. I don't think anyone's really like been, you know, that stellar to come right back and play again.
Right. I agree with you. I so agree with you. There's so many people from past seasons that we would love to see, you know, back on Survivor.
From what I read, it sounds like it's going to be nobody that has been on two seasons. They can only be on one season and not one. So I kind of like that part.
That is good.
Yeah, I think that's going to be great. You know, that's giving people a true second chance. And yeah, that's cool. You know, some people did go out, in my opinion, way too early, and we didn't get to see their real gameplay. And I think it's awesome that some of those people might get to, you know, go back on and show what they're really made of. And that's cool. You know, so it's awesome that people might get a second chance. You know, they dream of that stuff. They go to bed, you know, at night, put their head on their pillow and have dreams of those second chance days, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And this is that possibility opening up for them. And I think that's just so awesome that somebody might have that dream come true for them, you know? So.
Definitely.
It's just going to be a great season. You know, and so many of us won't have to really get to know the cast because, you know, if you've been watching since season one, you know these people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So. You're going to know the cast as soon as they announce it and kind of know who they are and what they're about. So
I'd love to see Greg play again from season one and after finally meeting him 2 summers ago. He was just so interesting and fascinating, just like he was on TV. So I'd love it if he got voted in. I think the fans would really consider him. Like, he's a very iconic character.
Yeah. We get to meet Joel in Kentucky from season one.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really a sweetheart. But we do have your guest on Switchboard. So.
All right.
Let's get her up here with us.
Sounds good.
The lovely and sweet Lori Doherty, how are you?
Hey, guys. I miss your
Welcome.
Voices.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Can I chime in on something?
Absolutely, sure.
Nice. Okay, so you guys are talking about returnees, blah, blah, blah. So, anywho, you know that... Mike, I don't know if you know. Did you hear this about Joel? That he's the one that came up with the jury.
Yeah, I remember that from 2 years ago at Tosh's when he was telling us about that. I couldn't believe that. That was a great story. Do you want to tell it since you're the one that brought it up, how that kind of happened in Borneo?
Well, like, I hope I get it right. Oh, my gosh, my memory's horrible.
If you need any help, so.
Yes, please. Chime in if I mess something up. But anywho, when they got voted out, they were just sitting around doing nothing. Right, Mike?
Yep.
And then...
Right on the pool or something, I think, or something.
They were what?
They were like at a pool at the hotel, I think.
Yeah. That sounds right. And then something about Joel says, why can't we sit in or something?
Mm-hmm.
And
originally, Mark was just going to have him watch videos, I think. They
that's
were
right. That's it.
Actually
that's
come
it.
Back.
Yep. Yes, and you watch hours of videos. Yeah, and Joel's like, why can't we just sit in and watch?
Yep.
And that's where the jury formed, was because of Joel.
Joel's idea, season one. He just missed, or he missed it by 2 people, but the jury was formed in that way, and that's the show we have now. Can you imagine him sitting and watching tapes like on Big Brother? How crazy that would be instead of sitting in their tribal watching the show.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
that's
I never
so
thought
cool.
of that. Yeah, I never thought, like, on Big Brother, you sit and watch hours of, well, however long, of footage of what happened in the house prior to, yeah, sitting in. And what about, like, the editing room? You know,
mm-hmm.
speaking of watching hours of stuff, like, how does the editors really work? I mean...
Yeah,
seriously.
What are they going to do with that footage? It's not going to be fairly shown. That's what Joel was talking about. That's the main reason he didn't think it was a good idea, because he said, you know, Mark, they're gonna have to manipulate what they show. They can't show every second, so you're going to get, you know, these opinions of people that are not true.
You know, Chris asked, what about all the footage that was filmed that Chris wanted to see all the footage. He wanted to see
mm-hmm.
everything.
Yep.
I mean, like any survivor would want to see every bit that's ever filmed. He don't care if it's hours upon hours upon, he don't care. He wants
yep.
to see it.
It'd be
you
amazing
know?
To see what they don't show. There's a lot of really cool things that we didn't get to see, a lot of legends and rumors and even
sure.
the stuff we do see, the little bits we don't see. You know, they can manage together a conversation between two people on different days, and it'd be great to see what was actually said.
And, like, you know, like, we generally, like, we only get to see 45 minutes of TV. That's it. 45 minutes packed into, what is that, like 3 days worth for 45 minutes? How many?
Yeah, 72 hours into 45 minutes, and that's different cameras and stuff, too. Night vision and other stuff, yeah.
Carrie, wouldn't you like to see more than 45 minutes of 3 days worth of stuff?
Oh, my gosh. Of course.
I mean, because, like, okay, going back to that then. Like, Big Brother, you have 24-hour live feed.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to have live feeds of Survivor. I mean, that would be like the
ultimate. Oh, my gosh. That would be so brilliant. I mean,
so much money.
Okay, why has it never been? I mean, it's CBS, it's Big Brother, mm-hmm. CBS, it's Survivor. Why is it not? I wonder why.
I think there'd be too many reshoots.
Wait, what is it?
I think the show would get in too much trouble. That's why there's no Survivor After Dark with a lot of, this challenge wasn't to 5, it was actually to 10, or we're going to go walk to tribal council now, and then you watch the footage and people are jumping in trucks or boats or whatever. So I think some of the awesomeness of the show would kind of wane because the edited production is what we're used to.
Right. Yeah.
But it would be cool, especially maybe not live, but, when the show's there and they could show a lot more of that footage than just the secret scenes, like 2-minute videos every week. Like, they've got night vision and all kinds of stuff going on.
Sure. Yeah. I remember one time somebody asked, you said night vision, and this is, I don't mean to go off key here, guys. Like, bringing up stuff that probably you guys don't care about.
We can have whatever you want to talk about, so.
Oh, I love that. I remember one time somebody had asked Probst, why don't they do, like, Alaska, Survivor in Alaska?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the response is? Does anybody know why they won't do it in Alaska?
The bikini factor, I would guess.
You got it. People want to see flesh. So, yeah.
Well, you watch Dan, you get plenty of that, so.
I mean, and remember, Mike, speaking of, see, here I go again. I'm going off key here. But remember somebody posted a picture. I don't know if it was on Facebook or POS, but somebody posted a picture of season 1 of how they did the group shot, and they were fully clothed. And then, season 28, 29, and how they were like, nobody had any clothes on.
Everybody's in bikinis.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah, the guys, no shirts on. But season 1, Borneo, they were fully, like, all the guys had shirts on. The chicks had shirts on. Yeah. Yep. Maybe they didn't want to be too risque season 1 since it was brand new. Oh, then again, Richard Hatch was naked the whole thing.
They might have been doing that. They also had Reebok sponsorships, so they probably wanted to show those Reebok shirts, not the, there's nobody sponsoring bikinis back then, so they wanted to get those Reebok logos in and make that money.
Yeah, and they all had the same shoes on in season 1. Do you remember? Joel said that too. Joel gave some amazing. Did he tell you stuff too, Cherry?
Yeah.
Did Joel open up to you?
A little bit. We didn't get to really sit down and talk a lot. I got to spend time with him in Kentucky, mostly at the bowling alley. We kind of sat down like at a in the corner of the bowling alley and really, kind of started talking about Survivor and
and he was not shy about telling so much stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I love that. I love hearing those little tidbits. It's like candy to me. It's just the sweetest thing to hear those little tidbits that you've never ever heard before. Those behind the scenes things that you know nobody's ever really heard before. That those stories that you people just don't hear, and it's just so addicting to hear those kind of things. I get so thrilled to hear those kind of things. And, that's why I love doing this, because, to have somebody come on and tell those kind of stories. And I'll tell you, Bubba was another one that would come on and tell those intimate stories about, things he did, on Survivor, and those heartfelt stories and just things that happened, in the background of Survivor and, that kind of thing. That we got great stories from Bubba when he was host on here too. And I just love that. I think that's the most awesome thing when, somebody will come on and just open up and tell you, just all the little intimate details. And the fans just love that, the most awesome. And see, thing. I'm more intrigued about behind the scenes stuff with Big Brother. I think because I've heard so many stories over the years of Survivor. Like when me and Chris sit here and watch Survivor on a Wednesday night, he'll say, it's literally 10 years later, Chris will bring something up that's something brand new that I've never heard before. But like when I meet somebody from Big Brother and they're willing to talk, I want to hear it all, because I want to know,
I'm the same way about both of them.
Yeah. Or like Amazing Race when Mary and David, when we're around Mary and David, Mary will just tell these stories and just, it's like, wow.
It's fascinating.
And, I don't even know if this was ever brought up before, but speaking of Amazing Race, Boston Rob and Amber ran the Amazing Race, and they were on Mary and David's season. Well, we all know what CBS did for them on Amazing Race.
Yep.
I mean, you've heard that story before, haven't you, Terry?
Mm-hmm.
What CBS did for Boston Rob and Amber?
Yep.
No.
They seem like the golden couple, the chosen ones, sort of,
I mean, like, I think it's very, very, very unfair that CBS would hold up an airplane so Boston Rob and Amber can make it on. I mean,
yep.
I know.
I mean, I think that is so unfair. But like you said, it's Boston Rob is a golden child in their eyes. I wonder, I don't know.
Yep.
And so is Jeff and Jordan, I mean, they have their particular ones that.
Yep, you're
Jeff
right.
Jeff and Jordan.
You're right.
Are the same way. And Brendan and Rachel.
Yep, you're right.
Kind of fit in that category. There's certain couples that are
famous.
Sort of on a pedestal. Yeah.
Yep,
and
you're right.
Boston
Mike,
Rob
you watch
and
Big
Amber,
Brother?
Jeff and Jordan, Rachel and Brendan. That's sort of that.
Do you watch Big Brother?
I do in the summer. It's something to do in the summer for me because I'm going to meet them all anyway, usually. So that's how that began in watching the race. So, but I've heard there's more manipulation in Big Brother, though, than any of the three. So there's a lot of, producer interference. We're going to show the fish tank and shut off the live feed so that we can do whatever we need to do.
Yeah, there's so much manipulation behind the scenes.
And the repetitiveness of Big Brother, I don't like that. There's so many, the exact same challenges, you know, every single, you know, week nine is the whatever. Like,
yeah. That's, I don't know. I wish they would kind of take after some of the Big Brother UKs or, you know, those Big Brothers. But from what I understand now,
Canada,
instead,
yeah.
Allison Gradner is going to Big Brother UK to help them change their Big Brother to be more like U.S. And I'm like, no.
Oh, really?
That's not right. We want to flip that. We want Big Brother U.S. to be more like them, not them be more like us.
How many of us right now are jealous we're not in Temecula?
Oh,
I've never been there, so I'm somewhat jealous, but not extremely jealous because I've never been able to go.
I'm 1,000% jealous.
I'm so jealous. But the only reason we stopped going is because they made us pay for everything. I mean, like, we were like, whoa. I mean, it's a different story, you know, for Florida, for us paying for stuff in Florida, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a flight to Florida is half as what it is compared to flying to California.
Oh, yeah.
So.
We do have some people hanging on the switchboard. I don't know when you want to start taking calls from fans, but
since this is our first time with Lori, I just real quick before we get to the other guests, I guess who did she like going into the season and who does she like now with the with Worlds Apart?
Who did I like going into the season?
Yeah, just from the initial like cast intros and all that. And then
oh my gosh, I couldn't wait
now?
For Max. Max. I'm like a huge Max, of course, Max. And now Mike, Tyler, and I kind of like Jen's sassiness.
Okay. All right. That's just all I wanted to know because we hadn't gotten to talk to you. We've been talking about him for 8 weeks, so.
Yeah. Okay.
I guess we can cycle in these guests that probably have questions for Lori and maybe me. We'll see.
Okay, well, here we go. Let's start her up. We have Tony on with us. How are you, Tony?
I'm great. How's everybody else?
Good.
Great.
Lovely.
Great. Is what?
We're good.
Do you have a question or comment for Lori?
I've hung out with Lori twice at Parts of Reality. So I've talked to her, you know, quite a bit. So I will say this, they answered a lot of questions. Remember, I took you and Chris back to the airport last time.
Yes, you did.
And we had a great time, and I heard so many neat stories from the Vanuatu and I cannot wait to see you again this summer, you and Chris.
I know, I can't wait to. I promise.
Yeah.
We're gonna have so much fun.
Oh yeah, I love Parts of Reality. That's an amazing event.
It's a great one. I love it. It's a
it
good
is.
Carryover from the old Cocoa Beach. So.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you want me to go ahead and bring someone else up?
Sure. Who else is on the line? Who else has a question?
Okay, let's see. We've got Jason on with us. Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Hi, Jason.
Hey.
Jason.
Tony's talking about hearts. You know, this will be my first hearts event this summer, so I'm looking forward to meeting you, Lori.
Yay! Me too.
It should be
I'm
fun.
Excited.
Yeah.
Always a good
time. Any questions? Do you have any? We haven't really dissected the show at all, Jason. Do you have any general comments about the show or any questions for Lori?
Well, let's see. She already gave her who she's looking for, you know, toward the end there and all. You know, I had the same opinion at the beginning with Max. you know, Max was one of my early picks for staying in for a while. It's either going to be him or Will. Who do you pick to win right now?
Good question.
Who's
your pick to win?
Who's your pick to win?
My pick to win? Oh, yikes. I honestly, it better not be Rodney.
Amen.
No.
Yeah, it better not be Rodney. You know who probably will win? Isn't her name Carolyn? The older lady.
Yeah, she's forgot the idol, and
she'll probably win. And it's amazing. I love not having any spoilers this season. I love it.
It's always easy when I don't interact with Sandra. That way I am less likely to not be spoiled. She always has the dirt and can get whatever she needs to know about the season. So there's been a couple times I've been hanging out with Sandra that I find out way too much.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate it. But then when somebody tells me, somebody will be like, hey, I know this is going on. And then I'm like, no, don't tell me. And then a few minutes later, I'm like writing them right back. Okay, go ahead and tell me. A few seasons ago, it was completely ruined. I knew down to every detail what was going to happen. And it just turned out.
Blood versus Water was the one I knew the final three, and it was upsetting to kind of know and watch as it happened.
That's
got to kind of spoil your season.
All right. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know, but I bet Carolyn will probably go pretty far. And you know what? I hate to say it. For some reason, I bet Dan goes very far too. Those two are not my favorites. Huh?
He's a big old goat, Dan. He's ruffling everyone's feathers. He's saying some things that are true, but the way he's saying it is terrible. Like, the conversation with Shireen was very accurate, but the way he did it, he's like a bull in a china shop every second, and you just can't play like that.
Yeah.
It's so rude. For me, it was strange and uncomfortable to watch that scene of him. And I've had a heart-to-heart with Dan, you know, on Facebook Messenger, and I can't believe this stuff is coming out of him on this show compared to him in real life. From what it was dark and creepy. The way he was just you know, laying into her. And I just want to say, Dan, you are not like this, you know. Why?
Well, it's 20-some days, no food, no water, no family. It's hot as hell. I mean, not to condone any poor behavior, but, you know. And also, Dan was picked because during casting, he probably exhibited these characteristics. They've seen him on countless casting calls. They've know the guy, and they probably knew what they were getting. So they knew what was going on.
And he's from Gorham, Maine, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gosh, what is
Same
it about Gorham, Maine? Huh?
They find some great survivors for sure.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going for character over gameplay?
He might be playing for a second chance, I think. I don't really think he could be that out of touch. I think some of it is disconnection from what he should be doing, but I think a lot of that is I have to be a character the whole time. I want to come back. I want to be memorable.
And that's what it sounds like he's doing, because he said, you are going to remember me either for good or for bad, but you're never going to forget me.
Well, one of the big, easiest people to not forget is Russell Hanson. He has no win, so that is what it is.
I was thinking the same thing, Mike. It's so true. But I hate to say it, Russell Hance. I can't stand him. I cannot stand him in person. He's so arrogant.
Really?
I'd rather hang out with him. I don't like watching him on my TV, but...
Are you serious?
He's the opposite.
I'd rather watch him on TV than have any conversation with him. I just can't stand him.
You should have been out by the pool with he and Evil Dick plotting their time on The Amazing Race together.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
There isn't an airplane big enough to carry those two egos in the same airplane.
Yeah.
Air Malaysia.
We've got one more caller I'm going to bring up on air with us because I can't stand sitting here seeing him on hold by himself. So
let's get him in here.
Chad Kincaid, thank you so much for being on with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Hi, Chad. Hey, guys. I was just listening in, and I wanted to get your guys' opinions on Dan. You guys pretty much talked about that. Mike brought up a good point about being out there for so long, and, you know, that shit's got to mess with your head, you know. And, you know, like Tony said, he seems like a nice guy on Facebook and everything. But when you get out there, it probably will mess with you. But I agree, it was kind of extreme, you know. And he didn't exhibit really good tact. So
no.
And you know,
I was sorry to see that the girls' plan didn't work. And you know, they had such a good plan to get, you know, vote him out. And of course, you know, they never show us the entire conversation toward the end, right before tribal council. So that's our cliffhanger, and we never know exactly what's going to happen. And,
sure.
Of course, it doesn't go as planned, and Dan doesn't get voted out, and he's left sitting there, and Haley gets, you know, the boot. But it was such a great plan to get him out of there. He's been so mean to every girl sitting, you know, on the show, and said mean, awful things to each and every one of them. And once they get together and start talking about it, they all realize, you know, this guy said horrible things to all of us. You know, let's get him out of here. And
I think Sierra wants to get no collar out, and then she can get Mike and Dan out, then go with some kind of combination with the white collar. I think that's her goal.
Actually,
you know, I was sad to see that chick, that police officer, go.
Okay, I
didn't
like that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, that was
my preseason
pick. I didn't
want to
see her go. What is it?
She was my preseason pick to win.
Yeah, I thought for sure she was going to go real far. I really did. I mean, yeah. And then Max, everybody loved Max. Everybody wanted Max to go far, and then he gets out there and just... Oh, I was so sad.
Blunders it. Yeah, played a little too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, because I guess, you know, being such a fan of the show, and then you get that chance to get out there and play, you know, it is probably a million times different. Sitting at home watching it, saying,
yeah,
you know, I'll do this, and then you get out there and... Chris said that during casting, when he was in LA, Chris said that CBS kept saying, you know, what kind of alliances are you going to make? How are you going to make it to the end? This, that, and the other. And this is all pre him making the show. Chris was like, Chris said, you people keep asking me this day in and day out. He's like, I don't know what kind of alliances I'm going to make. I don't know what kind of... Because Chris wanted to make an alliance with an older woman is what Chris wanted. But obviously, that didn't happen. But anyway, Chris said, I don't know how it's going to happen until I get out there on the island. And that's probably, you know, once you hit that island, it comes... so real. Everything you thought at home that you were going to do probably changes immediately because of the different characters you're playing with.
Yep.
The personality is going to be different than you anticipate.
Exactly. Exactly.
Did he have any ideas going in from just from those finals or from before the show started who he liked and did he stay with them? I think he liked, you could tell he liked Travis and Sarge pretty quick, even before they talked, I imagine.
Yeah, right away, Chris, Bubba said something to Chris about, you remind me of the guys I hang out with at home. And then immediately there was that connection. You know, and then, Sarge was the whole NASCAR thing. And, you know, I don't know. And then with Chris, it was always that Fat Five, you know, compared to, remember how they were titled and how Chad was titled that? Poor guy. Chad's so little.
Yeah, Chad's more of a leaner guy. He's not among the large and in charge dudes of LePevy.
And you know what? I'm being dead honest, and I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I shouldn't probably say this out loud, but I am.
And I'm being
100% honest, but I honestly have not heard of anybody from Vanuatu getting picked to come back. I'm, like, seriously, like, bummed about this. And there's another season, and I won't say what season, but me and another person from another season are very close. And that season hasn't been brought up either.
I think I know what you're talking about. Another odd season, another good season with a lot of great characters that has also gotten a total shaft on bringing people back. Only one that I can think of has played three times.
Yep. To be honest, that season, Mike, that I think me and you are talking about, I don't think anybody's ever played from that season again, ever.
No.
I don't think so, and there's several people that definitely should. Almost everyone that's on the jury should have come back in some capacity as a character in that season.
So I wonder why nobody from Vanuatu is even their name, unless somebody like John Kenny, that we don't communicate. I am friends with John Kenny on Facebook. But somebody
like
that.
He's the one I haven't met.
Huh?
The only one from Chris's season I haven't met is John Kenny.
Oh, John Kenny. Oh. And, you know, like, just, you know, what about Dolly? I doubt. But anyway, just names that you don't know, that nobody from Vanuatu has been called that we know of, unless somebody like Dolly that we never talked to, but somebody from our season would have known, I'm sure. Like, you would think of all people from our season, Julie would have heard something because, you know, she's out there. She knows, but, honestly, nobody from Vanuatu.
She should have been back. Chris should have been back. Rory, I think, crazy and interesting. Rory could have come back. Sarge, Chad.
Yeah.
A lot of good people there.
But remember, Survivor Oz just did a did you guys read the top 10, the 10 seasons that were, how they title it? They were like, people just
underrated,
need to rewatch it to get it. Huh?
I didn't see what you mean, but I can imagine some of the seasons that don't get enough love, maybe, or need to rewatch.
That's it. Yeah, Survivor Oz just posted it last week. Yeah, and like, I think One World, am I saying that right? I think that was number one.
Yeah.
Who was on?
Okay.
Who?
Who was on One World?
That was Kim and Christina and those girls.
Colton.
Kim.
Colton. Kim. Chelsea.
Yes.
Tarzan.
Who won that season?
Kim did.
Kim
beat Bradley. Sabrina 5-3, and then Chelsea didn't get any votes, I think.
Yeah. Who's Kim? I don't know Kim.
Bradley.
The horse, they're the, Kim's been down at that celebration before.
You've met Kim a couple years ago.
Yeah, you've met Kim. She's had a baby a couple years ago. I think she got married.
What's her last name?
Spradlin.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, okay.
Yeah.
That season was number one of not enough love shown, like you said, Mike. And then, like, Vanuatu was on there. Guatemala was on there.
Yep.
I thought One World was one of the best seasons.
I did, too.
In my opinion.
I did, too.
Well,
I
ladies dominated that season.
You what?
The ladies dominated that season.
Yeah,
sorry.
The ladies did do really well. The men played like crap, too, but the ladies played great.
Yeah, and the ladies seem like they have a tight knit. Wait, is Kat on that season?
Yes.
Yeah.
The way he worded it, or Oz worded it, was the top 10 unfairly hated season.
Unfairly hated season.
Yes.
Wow. That's right. Yeah.
But I'm with Tony. I think it was Tony that just said that a couple seconds ago. That
it was,
you know, Colton.
It was
spoiled
number one. One World, number one, Thailand, two, All-Stars, three, San Juan del Sur, four, Fiji, five, Nicaragua, six, Vanuatu, seven, Guatemala, eight, Africa, nine, and Panama, 10.
Wow.
Who hates Africa? Africa's a great season, whatever.
Yeah.
Africa is a great season.
It All Stars needs more eights, I think, but whatever.
What is?
All Stars.
I forget All Stars. Oh, that was a season right before Christmas. Yeah. You know what? I hate to say it, but all the seasons are so good. Every season is very good, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's just because I love the show so much that I like them all.
I agree.
And
you know,
it's funny because I've got friends that I've met along the way that are desperate, desperate, desperate to get on this show. They beg, they want, they do anything to get on the show. And then when they find out that a new cast is coming along, just like now, just season 30, and friends of mine that are true friends of mine now, they do any and everything to get on this show, and then they don't get on, and then they still love watching it because there's that much of a diehard fan.
Yeah. Oh, I'm one of them, you know. It's just like,
yeah, I know you are. I know.
There's a bunch of Temecula right now. So.
Yes. There is. You know, I mean, I'm not throwing names out there, but there are true, and you know what? That's what they should do. They should have a season of true diehard fans play this game.
Yeah.
It'd be as compelling as this is right now, because you've got Dan and Shireen and Max who are, you know, playing hard and playing fast, Tyler, and you know, it'd be just as compelling as this season is, so bring it.
I mean, then they've got people in there that quit. I mean, that just burns me and Chris to no end. We hate it, we hate it, we hate it.
Yep.
Because that
what
is taken
is the
away.
That were picked out of you know, bars, or people that were selected out of
modeling agencies that have never even watched Survivor.
It's yep. so
and never really
dumb.
Applied for it. They just got chosen because of how they looked and said, oh, we want to put you on this show.
Well, that's how Amy Cusack got on. Amy Cusack,
yep.
Amy wanted to run the Amazing Race. And
yep.
they said they didn't like Amy's partner for the Amazing Race. They said, would you ever want to do Survivor? And she didn't know about Survivor. She said, sure, I'll play your game.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's played twice.
Yep.
And she became
only two to repeat. One of them, you know, her and Eliza. That's crazy that she wasn't even one to go on the show.
And her and Mikey Patron from, help me out, Mike.
Micronesia.
Thanks. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, they're best friends, you know.
Yeah.
They're Amy and mm-hmm. Mikey B are best friends, and you know, I don't know.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just that, you know,
when there's thousands and thousands of people that would, you know, give practically everything they owned for a chance to play, you know, Survivor, they go to each and every casting every year, send in their videos, they, you know, bend over backwards to do whatever they can to try to get on the show.
Yep.
And
it's
yet
so
somebody
true.
That's sitting in a bar that's never watched Survivor, you know, before gets selected
yep.
and put on, you know. It's like, it's just, I don't understand that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When they did Blood versus Water and they called us, I told Chris I want no part of Clan Survivor. I
mm-hmm.
don't want no part of it. I do not want to play this game.
Really?
And I honestly, with all my heart, never. I do not want to play it. But then I will tell you guys this. Chris said, please, Lori, just let's see what happens. Just go through this interview process and let's see what
yep.
happens. And then when I talked to one of the women from CBS, when I talked to her on the phone that I've known for since Survivor, since the beginning,
mm-hmm.
10 years ago, when I heard her voice and she started talking about it, it got my hopes up. It got me kind of excited. And then, I don't know. I thought, all right, I'll go. And if I got voted off first, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I do not ever want to play this game. Ever. I just don't want to play.
Yeah.
But when they asked and then the interview process was going on, I kind of got excited a little bit. And then I was
aww.
So glad we did not get picked. I was so, so, so glad.
Well, I wasn't.
Oh.
I would have been so thrilled to see you and Chris up there.
Yeah, no, I don't know. It did make me sad knowing that Rupert and Laura got picked because that was mine and Chris's spot. But
yep.
I still think to this day, every time I watch Survivor, I think I don't want to do any of that. Not just because of not the food and not just because of, I don't know, because for one, you would never see me in a bikini or a bathing suit. You're just not going to do it. So I don't know what they're going to do with that aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'd go play in Alaska. So that way I wouldn't have to be in a bikini.
Yeah.
And, you know, the whole water challenge and, you know, I would be horrible at challenges. And I don't want to embarrass myself like that.
Well, so you wouldn't be as bad as Dan was in the immunity challenge. We'll kind of steer back to the episode a little bit. I couldn't believe twice he's like, Jeff, I got it. And then Jeff's like, no.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
wait a minute.
I need to find, you know, that we're talking about the episode. How many seasons maybe not every season, but a good number of seasons always have those sliding puzzles. So there's another thing people can practice ahead of time. And to see Rodney sitting back there about five, I don't know how he caught up like he did. But
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to kind of start going into, I have notes, if you want to start talking about the episode a little.
You know what?
Yeah.
I will say this. I got to tell you guys this real quick. Our storm was so bad last night. Me and Chris only got to watch about 10 minutes of Survivor last night.
Well, which 10 minutes did you get to see? We'll talk about that.
Okay.
Did you get to see the end or the beginning, or what did you get to see?
The first 21 minutes was gone.
Okay.
And then we seen that Mike found the hidden immunity, right?
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that.
Well,
here's a little strange thing that I thought about as I looked at it. Almost all these immunity idols seem to be on kind of a leather necklace. Why do they put that on there? Who is ever going to put that and leave it around their neck? You know?
They want to give them that option, just in case.
Maybe they want to wear
it. That's for the dummies who take... Paul, that's for the dummies who put it in their pocket and get voted out and walk out with a Survivor immunity necklace in their pocket, and they can take it home and wear it while they're at home.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll get
you know, when Mike... We did see when Mike cried yesterday.
Yeah.
And honestly, me and Chris, even to see a grown man cry like that, it's because me and Chris really understood. It's because your emotional state is so different out there. You know, you're so secluded. You're with people you don't know. So
yeah.
When grown men cry on Survivor, it's genuine, I'm sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shows it's real.
I do have a question about the idol, for those of you that might remember seasons a little better than me. Being a super fan and all, I don't remember any time before where the character redirected the found idol and then went looking for it and found it himself, while the obvious glare was on the person that didn't find the idol but was pointed to as finding the idol.
That was the strategy by Mike. I don't think I've seen that either, that I can recall.
I
did not understand that at all. I had no clue
what
you were saying.
Mike came back after... What happened was Joe and a bunch of people went to this reward challenge, and they got the clue. And it was amazing.
Okay.
It was in Carolyn's bottle of pop, and she didn't want to finish it. She gave it to Joe, and Joe was trying to drink it out of the bottle, and Tyler saw him get the clue. So the next morning, Joe and Tyler went to find it, and Mike followed him. And then they didn't find it, but Mike came back and said, congratulations, Joe's got the idol and was hugging him. And then what he was saying is then Mike went back out and actually found the idol.
Oh, because Joe just had the clue. That's all he had.
Joe had the clue, yeah. But he faked him out and made it look like, congratulations, Joe, you found it. And, threw the target on
Joe. Joe also thought, okay, I really didn't find it, but I'm going to let these people think that I did.
Yeah,
I just laid back. They are all going to, think that I do have it.
Yeah, see, all we seen was Mike found it. I'm telling you, our DVR, our storm messed up our DVR. We were livid. We were like, whoa. So Carolyn didn't want to finish her drink. She gave it to Joe.
And you
could
see that it was a clear bottle, and you could see the rolled up clue in the bottom, and she gave it right to Joe, and he drank it.
Now, I got to give Joe I got to give Joe props because at least he knew, and maybe some of the other ones knew that every time a lot of times they go on these reward challenges, they get a clue. So he kept looking around, and sitting right across from him is Carolyn drinking her bottle of pop. And he looks and sees this rolled up thing in there, and he goes, oh, I just wish. So she sets it down. She doesn't finish it. And he goes, boy, I wish I had some more. And Carolyn says, here, have mine. I can't finish it. It was so perfect.
Wow. I mean, it was just like, you couldn't have scripted it any better.
And Tyler's not missing a beat. He's watching Joe like a fox, and he sees him sucking the clue into his mouth. And Tyler then talks to him the next day, and he goes, then they know, I mean, Joe knows what Tyler knows.
Right. Well, you know what? Okay, speaking of a hidden immunity, okay, you know how when everybody finds their hidden immunity, they hide it somewhere on the island?
Yep.
So, okay, let's just say you forget where you hide it. How do they always remember where they hid it?
Well, that's a big deal. I think I'd remember.
You have to find a spot that you would, that stands out to you. So
maybe that's your life on the island. I think you'd hide it in a place that you're not going to forget.
Yeah, well, right. They take it from you, even if you don't find it, if you don't pass off ownership, they can't take it. That's what happened in One World is, I believe, Bill found Colton's idol and then threw it in the ocean, and that's why they wanted to go to tribal council to vote him out. So if somebody else found the hidden idol, they would have not been able to keep it because they didn't get it in the proper, transfer of the idol. That's why people look at each other's bags to see if they have idols, but they can't take them.
Right. Yeah, I always tell Chris, Chris, always remember, if you ever play again, you've got to find that hidden immunity. You've got to find it. I've always drilled that in his head ever since that hidden immunity. But then again, Chris doesn't want to play. He wants to play old school. Chris wants so bad to do old school, like his season. Food, he's got to search for his food. I mean, he just is pretty much so disgusted at some of the newer stuff. Like, the luxuries they get and the food that they get and the hidden immunity idols and then the redemption islands. And, Chris is like, bring back old school. And that's what Joel says, too. Joel's like, give me old school. Yeah.
So the actual clue said, explore around where a tributary runs. The power you seek is near a sea of green, defying gravity in its hidden hollow. And Mike is in a tree saying, why would Joe be showing Tyler a hidden immunity idol? Unless he's trying to win him over. So Joe and Tyler take the dishes down to the river and start washing them. And a split second later, Mike walks up behind them and grabs a pot and starts to help him. And Tyler, is in a cameo, and he says, if I read the clue, or Joe and I read the clue, and within moments, Mike is upon us, and I don't know what Mike saw. He could have seen me reading the clue with Joe. I've got to be very, very careful about alienating the group that I'm in. So what do I tell Mike? And then we see Tyler and Mike alone in the woods, and Tyler tells Mike that Joe's got the clue, but he hasn't told anyone else. And he tells
He tells him the clue, and Mike uses it.
Yep. He tells him everything the clue says.
Yeah, I got a comment here while you're saying that, Cherry. A couple weeks ago, I was wondering about Tyler, and then last week I thought, he's got good game, and he had such great instincts again in this episode that you gotta watch out for him. I think he could do a really good job. I think he's going to go far. What do you guys think?
I think he is too. He wants to know where the idols are, but he doesn't want to have them. He wants to kind of
control
the information.
And he says, thus began the mad dash trying to find where Joe is, and Mike is looking for the pack. Mike is leading the pack to insanity.
That was a hilarious portion of the show, I thought, where everybody was trying to, it was like, where's Waldo? Where's Joe? Everybody's running around.
I know, where's Joe? Mike tells everybody else
to
scramble for the hidden immunity. excuse me. I'm just trying to scan over because I've got a lot of notes and I don't want
to. But also, I give props to Tyler, but I also give props to Mike because he basically, by saying that Joe, had found it, everybody stopped looking and he was able to go out and search all by himself, which I thought that was pretty good on his part.
Yep.
Yeah. Good point.
If Joe's out of the game, if I don't have something in my pocket, I'm the next one to go. So, going to look for Joe.
How about the best quote of the night?
What's that?
Good ones? What do you consider to be the best?
Best quote of the night was, I'd rather have Rodney babysit my kids than Dan.
Pretty bad if that's what they're feeling. Which ties into the next scene right after Mike and the idol with Joe and Tyler is you've got Shireen and Dan in the water. And people were making fun of this all day in POS, but Dan was giving Shireen some pretty, I think, fair information, but the way he said it was just not smart.
Not tactful.
What? Remember, she did know it was. I think it was accurate because he was right. She went with the lower numbers, and that wasn't smart. Mm-hmm. She joined a group of three people to go against seven. That isn't smart.
Yeah, but you don't do it like a final jury. The final jury, when you insult everybody on the jury, instead you make it smooth and make it seem like a good decision on their part.
Well, I'm saying it was accurate information. It wasn't presented well at all. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it was true, not the way you do it.
Shireen asked Dan, are you worried about this idol nonsense? And Dan says, nope. I'm most surprised at you. To be honest with you, I really am, actually. You're like a fan. Why is it that fans can't do basic math? Why would you side yourself with the short side of the stick? Shireen says, I have plans. Dan says, you're just one of Joe's minions, and that's what you're seen as now. Seriously, your game is done. Your game is over. And Shireen says, I think you just don't understand my game. And Dan says, I don't, and laughs. Again, another fan who can't do basic math. Then in a Dan cameo, he says, Shanini, or whatever her name is. I can't even remember her name because she annoys me so much. Somebody slap this woman. For the love of God, somebody please slap her. Shut her up already. Dear God in heaven, do us all a favor. I cannot wait until her torch goes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's talking to Shireen again and telling her that she's an easy mark. And he says, if Joe wins immunity, do you think he's going to give it to you? And Shireen shakes her head no. And Dan says, right, that leaves you as an easy target. And Shireen says, in a cameo by herself, she says, Dan just tried to rip me apart. He just flings insult after insult. And actually, I felt sorry for him. So I just sat back and but whatever. And so then Dan says, there's only two kind of people in this game. People who don't do anything and get voted out for it because of it, and people who do too much, annoy everyone and get voted out. Case in point, that would be yourself. And that's just the truth. And I'm actually trying to be nice. I truly am. And if that's being nice, I would hate to see him be rude, in his opinion.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, was it truce? Were those true statements? The presentation sucked, but they were true statements, I think. That's not how you win the game, but those, I mean, that is all, I think that's accurate information he was giving out, but it was presented terribly. What are Joe and Jen and Haley going to do at Final Four to Shireen if they make it there, which they can't now because Haley got voted out? You know, she's dead. She probably goes before Willie because they think Will's been voting with them. So, and I think Dan's an idiot. I think he's playing terribly, but, you know, he was saying some true things. I think he was trying, like, to be brutally honest, and it didn't work for Shireen. And the viewers definitely didn't like it either.
And the very next scene is where we see Mike up in the tree doing his cameo, and he says, I've been running around looking for this idol all day. I found a little termite nest trying to put a little sustenance in my body. Help me keep going to look for this idol. Still no luck finding the idol for Mike. This is a mind-beating, exhausting game. It's tough. This is a tough part of the game, but I've got work to do. I've got to find it. I've got to.
Yep.
Don't think you're going to come out here and you're going to just find an idol. This is not an easy task. You've got to keep searching and keep looking in every nook and cranny. People who find idols in this game are the people who work hard in this game. And it shows him picking thorns out of his finger and then looking at a few minutes more, and sure enough, he pulls an idol out. And he breaks into what is the most awkward, happy dance I've ever seen in my life.
Very interesting, yeah.
You think?
He cannot dance.
That's a Tony Vlachos dance.
Yeah.
Why does that energy and that, that's got to be crazy, that emotion just to get an idol like that. I've only experienced that in an online game. I know I cried when I won Final Immunity because I knew I was going to take somebody out, and I knew I'd win because I knew who to take. So I can't even imagine being on the island without your family, without food and water, and you find something like an idol. I'd be bawling like a baby.
Yeah.
They need to give me an IV because I'd be so dehydrated from crying.
Yeah.
That was a cool moment.
It's a cool moment anytime somebody finds an idol.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We kind of touched on the puzzle and immunity challenge with Dan twice, thinking he got it, and you know, looking down on it and pausing it, and looking at what he thought he got. He knew the words. But did he say anything online as to, is he maybe dyslexic or something? That
he got the colors right, and he thought he had got it. That's what I saw. I think it was either the secret scene or something on a YouTube video. It was a confessional, I think, from the day after. And he got the colors right, and he was like, have you ever done that thing online where they have the first and last letters of a word and all the rest of them are scrambled, but you can read the whole paragraph?
Right.
You ever seen like that on Facebook? He said it was just like that, that he knew what it was. He thought he had it, but, you know, just because it looked right. But he basically all he had to do was mix the, you know, four of them, and he would have the whole puzzle. But he was just overly excited.
Yeah. That was tough. Twice he thought he had it.
Yep. So
and then, of course,
Joe gets it.
We we get the Rodney crying afterwards and complaining and whining about Joe winning and blaming everything on Mike because if Joaquin was there. And I didn't quite understand where he was coming from, but he says, and of course Joe wins again, a prototypical all-American white guy. And I thought, where did that come from?
That was just rude. Typical what rude Rodney.
Is Rodney not Caucasian? Or he appears to be.
Right.
I don't know.
Maybe
he's
not. I
didn't understand that at all.
Well, I understood his logic, because if they had voted out Joe instead of Joaquin, they don't have to worry about Joe winning all those challenges. But then Rodney would be better because he's with Joaquin and he has his buddy. So that's what Rodney's feeling, but I don't know about the white boy.
Yeah, that really irritated me.
It was just sour grapes. It was just sour grapes, basically. That's all it was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and Jen said her opinion of that right afterwards, too, so. I effing hate you.
Yeah, that was
I don't like Jen as much as I did, but she'll tell you right how she feels.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the history lesson that we got at Tribal Council.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think Flippers don't always do that great, but Haley did pull that out that, you know, the colonists flipped on the United Kingdom.
I looked for Haley went up about five notches.
I looked over at my husband when that happened, and I went, hashtag history lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they blindsided King George III. That's all that was a straight up blindside.
I don't even know what happened. What happened to make it a blindside?
I didn't get that.
Well, not a blindside. Well, what happened was they tricked Sierra and Tyler, and mostly Sierra tricked the girls into thinking they'd all vote out Dan, but Sierra was Tyler's by the blue collar, so I think that's who got tricked.
Well, they did as a fan watching it, I didn't have that typical feeling of blindside, you know, and so maybe to the castaways it was, but the editing didn't surprise me that, you know.
I thought they might have pulled it because it looked like they were going to make a move, but the weirdest thing I saw was Rodney voted, instead of Haley, he voted halt. So is that a joke or is that just a misspelling? Or look it up, he spells H-A-L-T.
Yeah. I thought that was hilarious. I think that was just being Rodney, just being, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a peek, and I totally didn't understand this, and hopefully somebody can clue me in, but we get to see next time and on Survivor, and they hint at Jen wanting to quit, and she says, got nothing out here except for just bear. What was that? I didn't get that.
It's bear, not bear.
Oh, I thought she said bear. I thought, what?
It was kind of trying to blindside the other side, but when her friend, her skinny dipping pal, gets booted, that's not fair, I guess. So she wants to quit.
Okay. Maybe she wants to come up with a bear and she meant damn.
The first thing we see is says everyone takes a beating and they're going down this huge slide, and everybody is just getting beat to hell from this big old slide.
I can't wait to see that.
Oh, my gosh. It's brutal. And then it says, and one player considers throwing in the towel. It's Jen. And she says, I've got nothing out here but this despair. And
she's not
quite unhappy. I don't think either. Jen's got too much fire in her.
Here's the thing. I don't think it's going to be a quit, because if it was a quit, they wouldn't have shown her blatantly right out. Yeah.
Hey, I think Jason needs to leave, so can we say goodbye to Jason?
Bye, Jason.
Bye, Jason.
Can't wait to meet you.
I'll
Thanks for calling in,
I'll see the majority of you in August.
See you in August, buddy.
All righty.
Take care. Thanks for the conversation.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
So, Lori, did
my
you
other question is how
hear-
long – go ahead.
I was going to ask Lori if she got to actually hear or see Tribal Council.
No. No.
Well, I just see
–
I'm going to tell you a little bit about what happened. Probst asked Tyler what the response was back at camp after Jen played or slayed an idol and everyone's jaw dropped. Tyler said there was disappointment because Kelly was well-liked, but there were blurred lines before that happened. And then Probst asked Mike, how sure are you that the vote is going to go as you expect it to go tonight? And Mike said, I am 155,000% sure of what I am doing tonight, but these are all a bunch of gamers sitting here right now. So we all know what to say. We all know how to tickle someone's ear. So are you going to go with someone who maybe took you for out for pizza, or are you going to go with someone who's provided for you the whole time? And then Probst went to Dan and said, after last tribal council, are you a little uneasy given that things can change just like that? And Dan says, as a big fan of this show, yeah, you have to expect the bombs to drop, and you just have to hope it doesn't drop on you.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to believe in your alliance and stand by them. It's three magic words, Jeff. Flippers never win. And Sharon immediately speaks up and says, Jeff, that's flat out wrong. Tony flipped a million times and won epically. It's like a fear tactic that he's using against his alliance so that nobody will vote against him. And then Jeff goes to Haley and says, flippers never win. Do you think he's sending a message? And Haley says he needs to remember that we're Tribe America. What if the colonists never flipped on the greatest empire in the world? How about that? And she says, I think flippers have a great historic record in this game. And Jeff was just smiling. And the whole tribe was just like, wow. And that's why I was saying hashtag history lesson, because I mean, she took it all the way back to the colonists, and it was just amazing how they took it all the way back to the beginning of our country.
But what did King Mike and King Rodney and King Sierra, Queen Sierra do to Haley? They chopped her head off.
Yeah.
Okay, I do have a question about. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, and then Crow said it's time to vote, and they all went and voted. So that's what I was saying, that it was sort of a history lesson in Tribal Council, and it was a good one. So I just didn't want Lori to be sitting here not knowing what we were talking about.
I'm glad you clued me in.
I want to know people's thoughts or opinions. How long do you think Mike will keep it to himself about his immunity idol?
I think he'll keep it secret.
I do too. Do you guys?
I think he's gonna. I don't know.
I think he'll keep it a secret.
I respect the ones that keep it secret.
more than I do the ones that have to tell somebody. I think it's
me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's played better if you can just keep it to yourself.
Yep.
I think the only reason he would show it was to keep Tyler and Carolyn loyal later once they get rid of Jen and Joe.
Yeah.
I just think he could possibly show it just for that reason.
It's going to be interesting to see if he does keep it to himself or if he shares with anyone, because that can be your demise sometimes.
Yeah.
If you have to tell somebody, they can turn around and use it against you in the worst time ever. If you keep it to yourself, you can pull it out. Now, he did say, and I have it written down somewhere in my, I have like 10 pages of notes, but he did say that he was not going to share that.
Yeah, he did.
He needed it for himself.
I did hear that.
Yes, he did say that he was not going to share that he needed this for himself. So,
He seems determined.
All right, my peeps, I got to get off of here. I got to work in the morning.
We appreciate your time for sure. Thank you so much.
Are you going to be there Wednesday, Mike?
I'm most likely going to be down for the viewing party, yeah.
No, on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
This Wednesday the 15th.
Down at Westies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be there, I believe.
Nice. I'll see you Wednesday. Who else is on here? Cherry, I miss you. Are you coming down
to... I miss
you,
girl.
Are you coming down to Cincinnati?
I don't know. I just found out that it's quite likely that my husband and I may be going to Florida this year.
Nice!
Yay! Be good. We should go live show.
Yay! So,
and then, who else is still on here? Chad's still on here?
Yep.
Tony and Chad, I think, were.
Yeah,
no,
Tony,
I'm still
are you
here.
Still on here?
I'm still here.
Yay! Okay, Tony, I will see you in Florida. Chad, I'll see you in June.
Yep. Scott talking to you,
Lori.
All right, Lori.
All right, guys. I'll see
August.
Everybody real soon.
Alrighty.
And Lori, you can call in on any Thursday, you know, just keep the number and call in whenever you're available, babe.
I will.
Yeah.
I know. Bye, guys.
Good night.
Bye. Bye.
Love you, hon.
I gotta run too. I gotta work in the morning.
Yeah,
I appreciate
so do
it.
Right.
I'll talk to y'all soon, okay?
Alrighty.
All right. Thank you for calling in, hon.
Thank you.
Have a great
night.
Bye, Tony.
Y'all too.
All right. Well, what do you guys think going into this next episode?
Well, like I said before, I mean, if it was a quit, they wouldn't have shown Jen outright, so I don't think it's a quit. I think it's just her being pouty and bitchy. So, but that's my.
It could be a medevac. Somebody could get hurt. Maybe you never know. They did show a bunch of people falling in the challenge. They did the famous Wilhelm scream from a bunch of like Indiana Jones and Star Wars. So maybe somebody gets hurt. Maybe Joe gets hurt. I don't know.
You know. The one thing I hate, other than somebody quitting, unless it's a good reason, is somebody getting medevaced, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's somebody I'd actually despise, like Colton, I mean, I wouldn't want him to go out in that fashion, so.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah, that's a rough way to go out.
Okay, so if Joe... Going forward next week, if Joe doesn't win immunity, Is he likely the next to go, or do you think that's going to switch up?
I think Joe's toast if he doesn't win immunity.
Well, yeah. either that or somebody else is going to really piss off a lot of people, and that's just what's been happening the last two episodes, you know? And it might save Joe's skin, we never know, but as far as I think, yeah, well, he's the number one target to go.
Who would be at the top of your possible list of pissing people off? Would Rodney be up there?
Rodney Dan, Shereen.
There's a list.
Those three. Sierra, for going against a girl, that could piss off the other girls. I don't think Jen's going to like Sierra, and Shereen won't. And they've all been blaming poor Will, and Will's been, he's been flipping more than a fish in a fish fry. He went against this group and that group, and they think that he's with them, but he's definitely not.
He's been flipping more than McDonald's cheeseburger.
There you go.
All right, guys, I got to head out, too. I got to work early, so.
Good night.
All right. Thanks, Chad.
Well, to quote, thanks, Chad. Take care, hon. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
All right, hon. To quote Probst, he said, there's been a lot of talk about lines being drawn in the sand, but with 10 players left in the game, lines that have been drawn in the sand tonight can be washed away with the tide tomorrow.
One of my favorite quotes of all time. I loved that.
That was good.
That says it all. Things could change up overnight, and we could see a whole new ball game by the time next Wednesday gets here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows what's going to happen with these 10, you know? They certainly don't seem to be as tightly connected as some alliances we have seen.
I think it's weird how Sierra and Dan and Mike are, and all of them are together. I don't know if Sierra's more with Tyler and Carolyn and just happens to vote with Mike and Dan and Rodney. Or if
Sierra is, I'm so unsure about where her loyalties are right now. I have no clue.
I think her bond with Dan is really growing because they did actually go. She went to Maine with some other people, so they may have an actual real bond. Who knows?
I love red wine. One of our listeners is in the chat room, and she says, Rodney and Dan suck, but their sound bites and assault on the English language are awesome. And Will thinks he's on The Price is Right.
He's still living on a prayer, so.
She always has the best things to say when she comes in to join us. She cracks me up. We've missed her. She hasn't been in to join us in a while. Red wine, you got to stop that.
Yeah, call in or just comment. Give us a call. A lot of sausage fest on the call-ins besides the guests, so come on, everyone else call.
It's hard to get her to call in. She calls in once a year, her annual call. It's hard to get this girl to call in. She's a blast when she does, though. She's a sweetheart.
I need to confirm with the guests, but I'll check my dates, but it's either this week or the week after. That it should be Cass, if she's still willing to do it. So let me confirm with her this weekend.
Well, I hope you feel better.
I do, too. I got to be outside for Relay for Life for 12 hours on Saturday.
Oh,
so I'm feeling better than I am now.
Oh, my gosh. You better start drinking a lot of orange juice and taking the cold medicine.
Yep, I'm medicating, and I pushed through tonight, so. And my phone made it, too. We pushed through together, so.
Okay,
I was
guys.
Shocked when
Paul said he couldn't hear me at the top of the show. I don't know what happened with my home phone, but I'm going to have to check that out. But I'm glad your phone made it through another show without dropping.
Yeah, Cherry, did you hear me saying at the time I couldn't hear you, or was it after you came back?
I could hear you, but apparently there was no sound coming out of my phone at all. But I picked up another one, and I thought, well, this one isn't working. I'll grab another handset. And none of my handsets were putting out any sound.
Yeah,
so that's why I'm wondering if maybe lightning might have surged through and hit my phone system or something. I don't know what's going on.
I thought for sure you must have accidentally muted yourself and forgot. That's what I was thinking.
No.
But at any rate.
No. I actually picked up multiple phone sets and tried talking, and none of my phone sets work putting any sound out. So that's why I had to grab my cell phone and call in. I was like, I got to do something quick. So I grabbed my cell and called in.
It wasn't quick enough for me.
Aw, I'm sorry. Paul's not used to opening the show.
Yep. No, and I wasn't sure if I had lost sound and it was me, and I wasn't sure if other people were actually hearing me, so it was kind of weird. But anyway, Rate, we got to wrap this thing up for tonight. It was a fun show, and it was a great crowd, and yeah, Mike, you certainly need to take care of yourself, bud. Get better.
I'll try. Thank you.
Well, you take care. I hope you do feel better before you're out there for 12 hours. And really enjoyed having Lori Doherty on tonight, and hope she rejoins us again sometime before the season ends. And we'll keep trying to get Bubba on with us. I know he's just so busy. It's very hard for him to get this much time away. He stays busy. So we'll keep trying that one. Everyone, take care. Have a great weekend. Join us tomorrow night for the Amazing Race Second Pit Stop Show with Mary Conley. That show is at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and then back here again for Manic Monday with Michelle Costa. She'll be back from Reality Rally with lots to tell us about. So make sure you're here for that as well. Here's Ron to take us away for tonight. God bless everyone.
I want to finish off the show with a little music and say to all of my listeners, thank you guys, and thank you all for coming in. God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. And it was a great one.
Was a great one. Enjoyed it immensely. All right, Paul. Say your good night. And
good
night.
Good night.
Big Mike?
Good night.
There we go. All right, that's a wrap, everyone. Good night.